We're back with more of Project Milwaukee, What's on Our Plate on Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. When it comes to producing fruits and vegetables, Wisconsin has an impressive resume. We're first in producing cranberries, snap beans for processing, and ginseng. And we're a close runner-up for everything from sweet corn and carrots for processing to soybeans, potatoes, and green peas. In fact, our veggies hold the second highest value in the country, and we're a leader in fruit and vegetable processing. This all has measurable economic impact. Our fruits and vegetables generate more than $6 billion a year and employ more than 20,000 full-time workers. But a report from the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture at Iowa State University argues there's still a lot of room to grow fruits and vegetables. The report compares what kinds of fruits and vegetables could be produced on the same acres dedicated currently to corn and soybeans, and what kind of economic value they'd bring to the state. By increasing the production of 28 different fruits and vegetable crops, the report says Wisconsin could generate about $115 million in farm-level sales and support more than four times as many farm-level jobs than current levels. The report also finds that if Wisconsin met demand from regional metro areas for this expanded menu, it would bring 828 new jobs compared with 196 jobs currently supported by corn and soybean production. While expansion into new crops sounds like a no-brainer, some have reservations about the feasibility of this kind of increased production. Michelle Miller is Associate Director for the Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Miller says there's definitely potential to expand what we grow here, but it will require changes at the farm, infrastructure, and policy levels. She tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce about the barriers to helping more Wisconsin-grown veggies and fruits reach our plates.
Probably in the 70s and 80s, a major change started taking place in production of fruit and vegetables. By the year 2000, the last fresh carrot in Wisconsin was raised and bagged for wholesale. And this is largely due to predatory pricing from California and Arizona growers who were using subsidized water and other government programs, policy programs that supported agriculture in the arid West, which then actually depressed opportunities for farmers here in Wisconsin. For instance, in Wisconsin, we've grown for wholesale market. We've grown lettuce, spinach, carrots, as I mentioned, onions, potatoes, peppers. There have been a number of crops that have been grown here, many of which are no longer grown in Wisconsin for commercial sale.
Why look at the impact of increased vegetable and fruit production in terms of not only money coming into the economy, but jobs created?
We think expanding the fruit and vegetable industry in Wisconsin to more appropriately fit our environment as well as our market would have a considerable impact on Wisconsin's economy. It's not just raising the fruits and vegetables in the field. It's also post-harvest handling. It's taking them out of the field and taking them to packing houses. It's transporting them to supermarkets. It's all of those jobs. So we think that would have a considerable impact.
Let's look at what we're producing now that's competitive and what we could be producing.
One of the things about Wisconsin agriculture is we have the opportunity to have a very diverse agriculture, and the diversity has gone down since the 80s. So we have an opportunity to ramp some of that back up. Preferably, we'd like to do that in a way that supports sustainable agriculture. And one of the aspects of sustainability is to provide for local markets. And so this is clearly one direction that we can go. There are a number of different crops that we could increase our production of that would further diversify agriculture and meet those market needs. One of those is apples. I have the good fortune of working with apple growers in our state and also in Minnesota. And there was a very thriving wholesale apple business at one time. And again, pressure from production in the arid West and then also in China really drove down prices and eliminated markets that otherwise would have been there. So we've been working with growers to reduce their reliance on pesticides and to start thinking about varieties that will sell well and that will store well, and talking with them about infrastructure needs to make some of this happen. Packing houses are few and far between. Many of them went out of business over the last 20, 30 years, largely due to retirements and even most recently a fire. So trying to replace and put some of the infrastructure into place to make it possible to ship apples from a farm orchard to a nearby store in tip-top shape and ready for sale is one of the things we can do. Another project going on the Madison campus is working on spinach. One of the advantages that California and Arizona have with spinach is they're able to provide a 12-month supply. And so a number of growers up and down the Mississippi River have been talking about what it would take to provide a 12-month supply of spinach from the Mississippi region. And so there have been efforts to link growers together, start talking about research needs to make the heat of the season as productive as the cool of the season, and how to make spinach a viable 12-month crop in our region.
What advantage would local producers have over, say, importing these fruits and vegetables from California or even out of the country?
One of the things we want to do is we want to make our food system more resilient. Right now, we rely very heavily on California and Arizona for fruits and vegetables. And should some major catastrophe happen, should water continue to be a problem and an increasing expense, there are a number of other kinds of scenarios that could happen. Should there be some kind of transportation disruption, as there was during 9/11, those kinds of things really change the flow of food coming our direction. And so to be more resilient, if we had more local food available, especially during the time when that food is in season, it's going to make for a stronger food system. I don't think anyone is advocating that we go totally local or that we try to buy all of our food within 200 miles or anything like that. But I think the idea is that where possible, that we buy local for resiliency.
How does that whole local foods movement impact this idea? Does this make the idea more palatable to farmers within Wisconsin?
I think a lot of farmers within Wisconsin see the opportunity for markets, but because the infrastructure isn't in place, it's not clear how to actually get things to market. For instance, if you are picking peppers, red and green peppers in the field, you basically have 3 to 4 hours to get those cooled down and preferably very soon to market. And the infrastructure just isn't there. We've spent a lot of time developing infrastructure to get food from California to Wisconsin, but we've lost our capability of doing that here within our own markets. I think rural markets in particular really suffer from access to local food, and that is in some ways a kind of a low-hanging fruit, if you will, for the local food movement to figure out how to get our local farmers back in local markets. One of the more difficult things we have to work on is getting food from local farms into our school system. And the farm-to-school effort is alive and thriving all over the state with a lot of people trying to figure out how to actually make that work. It's going to be difficult, but it will be a true test of our ability to provide for our own.
Well, it's one thing to say this is the potential, but what would it take to scale up the fruit and vegetable industry here? What kind of forces would need to come together to create that infrastructure you're talking about?
I think first and foremost, we need to figure out what kind of transportation and distribution systems we need to put in place. We need to start planning for those and making sure that the public policy is behind those. The College of Engineering's Center for Freight Infrastructure Research and Education, or CFIRE, is working with our research center, on looking at local food and transportation distribution needs. And so we hope within the next year to have a clear idea of what it really takes. At a national level, USDA is funding research to look at food hubs. As many of you know, around urban areas, it's a little easier for farmers to serve that urban market. And so they've been doing quite a bit of work on food hubs, and we're looking forward to having the people doing that research at USDA in Washington here in Wisconsin at La Crosse for the Upper Midwest Organic Farming Conference to talk about what those food hubs look like and how they're working.
What is the relationship between urban centers or metropolitan centers like Milwaukee and this potential for increased fruit and vegetable production?
Well, the first thing to remember is that there are sort of two major growing regions or bioregions in the state. The Driftless region is very hilly and a lot of rivers, few lakes. It relies on perennial agriculture to hold the soil in place. So it's not going to be grazing the same kinds of fruits and vegetables that might be raised in the central part of the state or the eastern part of the state, where the land is flatter, there's less opportunity for soil erosion, it's easier to grow large amounts of fruits and vegetables in a different kind of production system. So when a city like Milwaukee or Chicago, if you think about Milwaukee, Chicago is a major urban area of, what is, 11 million people? That's as big as L.A. That's a big stretch of urban life. And the market is potentially very, very large and could draw very quickly on that production potential. So getting the systems in place that make that possible, making sure that the brokers are there, that the markets are there. One little tidbit I heard recently was that onions are being sold from Wisconsin into Atlanta. They are not going to Chicago because Chicago is buying onions from somewhere else. So this issue of where our food actually gets brokered is also another piece that could be addressed either through economics or public policy.
I think it's interesting because you would think that it would cost less to grow something in state and have it remain, not have to travel so far. You'd think that those transportation costs would make it advantageous.
And that's where you get into the sort of the quirkiness of transportation efficiencies. Sometimes it is cheaper to ship something, you know, on a larger flatbed truck further than it is to have a small truck deliver it closer. And that's the interesting part that we're going to be learning in our work with CFIRE.
I mean, I guess I wonder if you can go maybe a little bit more into detail in terms of if we increase production of fruits and vegetables, you know, how we can be competitive, not just within the state, but even just within the region with places like California and Arizona.
I think another competitor we have really is Michigan. And one of the reasons why Michigan is so strong in fruits and vegetables is that they've retained their commitment to horticulture and agronomy and some of the agricultural sciences, both at their land-grant university at Michigan State, as well as through their extension service. And that extra effort that the state has made to really hold on to their fruit and vegetable growers has really made it possible for them to have a thriving industry. I think we need to see the similar kinds of public policy coming from our state house, an appreciation for food grown here and for the farmers who do it and for the kinds of assistance they need. One of the things our project's done is worked on developing people who can actually do coaching for growers to help them understand how to use information-intensive management on their farms to grow fruits and vegetables sustainably. And it's been a very well-received program by growers. Our apple work started with 13 growers about 6 years ago, and now we've got 70 growers. So there's a real hunger, I think, from growers for that kind of direct information and that kind of coaching to help them be the best growers that they can be.
It seems like this is all well and good, you know, healthy. There is this potential to increase fruit and vegetable production, but ultimately, when it comes down to the bottom line, how do we be competitive with California and Arizona? I mean, farmers have a hard enough time trying to make profits as it is and stay in business. How do we make the argument that, yeah, this is worth your while?
Yep, that's a good question. So the whole system is set up to favor product coming from California or from the West Coast, in part because of number of subsidies. In this coming year or so, we're going to be dealing with a new farm bill, a national farm bill that sets priorities and budgets for work that relates to agriculture, whether it is conservation of our natural resources through agricultural practices or whether it is marketing and food distribution. And so while that's going on, I'm hopeful that some of the discussion will be, you know, how do we make our food system more resilient and how do we, see that as a national priority and hopefully look at some of the things like water subsidies going to California. There's no need for California to produce so many carrots. We can grow carrots many, many places. And in the meantime, producing those carrots takes water. And that water might be better used by an urban area, or it might be better kept in the stream or the river in which it's already flowing. So this idea that public policy matters is critical to thinking about our national food system and our national security around food. I think the same can be said at a state level as well.
Well, Michelle Miller, thank you so much for talking to us today on Lake Effect.
It's a pleasure to speak with Milwaukee. Thanks, Stephanie, for the invitation.
Michelle Miller is Associate Director for the Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems at UW-Madison. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Coming up next, how supporting family farms and committing to organic practices made one Wisconsin company very successful and a national role model. We travel to Organic Valley when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.